Jack Reacher steps off a Greyhound bus in Margrave, Georgia, a whimsical decision that transforms his life in seconds. This pristine small town with its immaculate streets and freshly painted buildings seems more like a movie set than reality. Within hours of arrival, he's surrounded by local police, shotguns trained on him at a diner. The charge? Murder of a man found beneath a highway overpass, a crime committed when Reacher was verifiably on a bus from Tampa. Only the presence of Detective Finley, a Harvard-educated transplant with methodical instincts, prevents the situation from escalating further. Despite his clear alibi, Reacher finds himself held at Warburton State Prison for the weekend while they verify his story. Before being transported, he demonstrates his remarkable deductive abilities, accurately identifying Finley's education, recent divorce, and even when he quit smoking. Something about this perfect town feels deeply wrong. Why are they so desperate to pin this murder on a stranger? The prison nightmare begins when Assistant Warden Spivey deliberately places Reacher and Paul Hubbell, a clean-cut banker who inexplicably confessed to the same murder, in cell block D with hardened criminals. Within hours, three muscle-bound inmates approach a residency tax. Reacher intervenes with military precision, dropping the leader with a devastating headbutt like an ox in a slaughterhouse. But the real threat comes in the communal bathroom where five Aryan Brotherhood members launch a coordinated attack. The ensuing fight is savage and efficient. Reacher breaks fingers, gouges an eye, and fights with brutal economy. The precision of the attack confirms his suspicions. Someone orchestrated this attempted murder. During their imprisonment, Hubbell's corporate composure crumbles as he reveals horrific threats against his family. They'll nail me to the wall. They'll cut my genitals off. They'll make my wife eat them. The specific nature of these threats suggests not random intimidation, but a sophisticated criminal organization with a history of following through on such promises. Monday brings Reacher's release when his alibi checks out, but also delivers devastating news. The murder victim was his brother Joe. The identification becomes irrefutable when Reacher identifies a distinctive star-shaped scar on the victim's neck from a childhood accident in Okinawa. What began as mistaken identity transforms into something deeply personal. Despite not having seen each other for 7 years, their bond remains unbreakable. Reacher discovers Joe had moved from military intelligence to the Treasury Department, a career shift that now seems suspiciously relevant. The investigation takes a horrific turn when Chief Morrison and his wife are found brutally murdered in their home, their bodies nailed to walls, mutilated, and positioned in a way that precisely mirrors the threat Hubbell had described. The killers had worn rubber overshoes and surgical gloves, leaving distinct treaded footprints in pools of blood. These weren't random killings, but professional hits meant to send a message. As Reacher and Finlay dig deeper, they discover Hubbell hasn't actually worked in banking for 18 months, despite maintaining an elaborate facade of employment. The web of corruption appears to extend throughout Margrave's power structure, with all paths leading back to the Kleiner Foundation, a supposedly philanthropic organization that has systematically transformed the town through strategic donations. Have you ever wondered what secrets lie beneath the surface of seemingly perfect communities? The perfect town's dark secret gradually emerges. The entire community is being systematically bought off. The local barber receives $1,000 weekly from the Kleiner Foundation, not annually as would be expected for legitimate support. This pattern repeats across dozens of businesses, amounting to millions annually in a town of just 1,000 people. What could possibly justify this level of investment? The breakthrough comes when Reacher and Finley discover hidden files that Chief Gray, Morrison's predecessor, had carefully concealed before his suspicious suicide. These meticulously detailed documents reveal the entire operation. Kleiner has masterminded one of the most sophisticated counterfeiting operations in U.S. history. Perfect counterfeit $100 bills are printed at a state-of-the-art plant in Venezuela, shipped to Florida's small ports, then transported in innocent-looking freight trucks to Margrave, a town specifically chosen for its strategic location and corruptible officials. The true genius of the scheme lies in their solution to counterfeiting's most persistent challenge, obtaining the distinctive paper that makes U.S. currency nearly impossible to replicate. Kleiner developed an innovative chemical process to bleach genuine $1 bills, stripping them completely while preserving the essential security features, the embedded threads, watermarks, and unique cotton-linen blend. When mapped, the distribution network resembles a menorah. Florida to Margrave forms the central stem, with routes branching out to major metropolitan centers across America. With Roscoe and the Hubble family held captive in a warehouse outside Margrave, Reacher faces his most challenging mission. After finding the hiding Paul Hubble, they breach the facility under darkness. Inside, they discover a colossal mountain of currency reaching nearly to the ceiling, hundreds of millions in counterfeit bills. In this paper fortress, captives are packing money into shipping boxes at gunpoint while Teal and Kleiner supervise. The battle erupts violently. Reacher eliminates Teal with a headshot from his borrowed .38 special. When Kleiner's shotgun blast hits the mountain of bills, the paper ignites like kindling, creating an inferno of burning money. Despite taking buckshot to his shoulder and his clothes catching fire, Reacher fights through pain and smoke to reach the captives while Finley provides covering fire. Their escape becomes a race against time as the warehouse transforms into a massive furnace, finally exploding and launching burning banknotes like orange stars across the night sky. For days afterward, locals collect partially burned bills while federal agents calculate the true scope of Kleiner's operation. Hundreds of millions in fake currency destroyed that night. Despite their passionate connection, Reacher and Roscoe's relationship faces insurmountable obstacles. Her subtle flinch when he describes dealing with Kleiner's men reveals their different views on violence and justice. Their final conversation becomes a study in mutual respect and impossible choices, with her asking him to stay in Margrave while he invites her to join his nomadic life. "Her world of elections and committees and planning wasn't for me," Reacher reflects, "and my world of cheap motels and diners and wandering wasn't for her." The gap between their worlds proves unbridgeable. Before leaving, Reacher arranges Joe's military funeral and assembles an unlikely group, including the Hubbles and the elderly blues singer, who will honor Joe with the same voice that once accompanied Blind Blake, completing the circle that brought Reacher to Margrave. At the bus station, Roscoe hands him an envelope with Joe's photograph and her phone number. Though he's memorized the number, the gesture reflects both hope and acceptance of reality. The killing floor of Margrave has transformed Reacher, giving his wanderlust purpose. He boards a westbound bus with uncharacteristic tears, now a nomadic guardian who will roam America defending those who cannot protect themselves.